Well, good morning. I have a lot of people to thank for assembling the material here and the material that will come in the next few years on high-throughput phenotyping. My co-authors, Doug Hunsaker, irrigation engineer Kelly Thorpe, who unfortunately is scheduled to present right now in a different room. Kevin Brunson, our research leader. I also want to say that Cotton Incorporated has been a major supporter, and I don't mean just financially, but in other ways to keep the high-throughput phenotyping going forward is very much appreciated, and I want to thank John Dyer, acting research leader, Jeff White, and Mike Gore at Cornell University. So the purpose of high-throughput phenotyping, which many of you are probably well aware, is to identify the most heat and drought-tolerant plant varieties amongst many lines. And if we do that by traditional agronomic practices, we could only test a few varieties in a season. It's a very slow process. So we're trying to use technology to greatly speed that process. The preceding two talks are kind of interesting for me because I see some of the physics that's going into measuring the quantities that we also measure for plant stress. And I want to say that we expect these variations to be quite subtle. These aren't going to hit you over the head, so we're not really sure what attributes that we measure are going to work and which will not work. So we're still very much in an exploratory phase. I also mentioned that this is globally high interest. There are research groups in Europe and Australia. I think a group in South America is working on this. This is a rapidly developing field. You pay attention to the literature, and you'll see lots of papers coming out on tractor-based airborne-based platforms for phenotyping. What are the sensors that we think are important? We want to measure plant height. We want to measure canopy density, canopy geometry, which would detect branching and leaf angles. Also look at for water stress signals. Those could come from canopy temperature, obviously, and also something like fluorescence. Cotton, in particular, and came up last year, is a lot of people said they want to know where the bolls are. Boll distribution and boll count, obviously, is directly linked to yield. And yield is not a primary goal for high-throughput phenotyping, obviously, but that is the end result, right? We want to develop varieties that are heat and drought tolerant. So when you pick a variety when the weather is terrible, you don't have a huge yield penalty. But when it's good, you have the upside. So you want it to go both ways. What we do is we have all these many sensors, which I'll describe, mounted on a high-clearance tractor. It's known as a Lee Avenger. Obviously, USDA doesn't endorse any particular kind of equipment. That's the one we use, which is illustrated in the back here, painted red. And on that on that tractor, we have mounted a toolbar where we have four rows, or 40-inch rows. On every 40 inches, we have our group of sensors that look at the canopy crop from near nadir or approximately oblique angles, as I go and describe some of those sensors in a second. And we also have a GPS RTK system so that we can geolocate everything approximately at 5 hertz. The map shown in the display here illustrates the kind of location data we have. This is approximately a hectare. Those are the rows as the tractor drives through through the field. And the protocol is we drive through 4 times a day, but 1 time per week to sample the plants. Here are some of the equipment and some of the protocols that we do. The tractor is here on the upper left. It's a hydraulic-controlled high-clearance tractor articulated here. The toolbar with sensors is here. The operator is inside a cab. Now, some of our colleagues like U of A don't have that cab. Well, I'm telling you, when it's 110, you really need something to keep your computer cool as well as your operator. So that's the platform there. On the upper right are two of the engineers that are working to calibrate the infrared thermometers. And the thermometry is really critical, as it's been illustrated in talk one this morning. If you have a temperature gauge that's off by a degree, you probably have some problems. You probably will not detect the differences between varieties that you hope to. Or if you see differences, those differences may have nothing to do with the plant, the heat tolerance of the plant. So what we do is we put those infrared thermometers into a temperature calibration routine, and we also do this in the field. This is the view in the lower left. This is a view from the cab showing you going forward with the GPS unit here. The data loggers are mounted outdoors here for the various sensors and a level bar, because it's very important for geometrical considerations that the toolbar be nearly horizontal. And here's another oblique view going through the cotton field as you drive through. So it's a platform of choice right now because it's practical. We can implement it this year. It's probably not the ideal platform going forward once we identify the kinds of sensors that we want to use for phenotyping. The sensors include these. Active reflectance radiometer, which is a crop circle, so it's a three-band instrument. An acoustic distance sensor, in this case a pulsar. Thermal infrared radiometer from Apogee out of Logan, Utah. On a LIDAR unit outfit in Oregon called Schmidt Industries. And, of course, the GPS ARTK that locates us to a few centimeters. The framework for this experiment is the Regional Breeders Testing Network, for which we're extremely grateful for their support. 35 lines in a hectare field. This provides me, I'm a physicist, so I'm not an agronomist, so it helps me greatly know what the protocol is, how to plant this crop, how to grow it, when to grow it, what observations are needed. The results are listed down, preliminary results from this season are listed down here, but I make them deliberately small and hard to read because I'm not done yet processing the data. The field is in the lower left here. These are the six borders. So we have two irrigation treatments. We have one that's well watered with a depletion down to about 45% available water content, and another one around 65% depletion. So we have a good stress treatment and a well watered treatment. They're 35 foot long, two row plots, drip irrigated. We planted in May, and we managed the irrigation the same up until about the 4th of July, and then we differentiated the irrigation treatment. And that differentiation was based primarily on FAO 56 ET estimation, but we also had soil neutron probes where we monitored the soil moisture profile down to 2.5 meters. So as I said, we did the high throughput phenotyping one time a week, four times a day. One of the things that we consider, of course, is that the soil texture has a variability on yield, and we have to map that. I'm deliberately leaving units off here because I'm not prepared to tell you the final soil textures here, but there's sandier soils in the red zones in the background here, and the plant heights are indicated by the colors in the plots. Just to give an idea that there's a correlation between plant height and soil texture. Going through the sensors, we have an active radiometer. Why do we use it? Because sometimes skies are cloudy. Sometimes you go early in the morning. Sometimes you go late in the day. The illumination of the plant has a very strong bidirectional reflectance factor effect on your plant, which makes it very difficult to do multispectral data. This sensor may not be the ideal sensor, but we have shown that at least for basic vegetation decks, it's very stable throughout the day. You probably could do a measurement at night with no difficulty. What it does is it gives you leaf area, or it gives you canopy density, or it gives you fractional cover. It's all integrated, so you're not really sure what it is that you're measuring, but it's a relative value through the field. And we have three bands there, one at the red edge, and the other two are conventional NDVI. The second sensor, an acoustic distance sensor, I won't spend much time with this one. Plant height is extremely important, and plant height is relatively easy to measure with cotton. This particular distance sensor, we've concluded, is pretty terrible. so we have used it for a few years, and we've discovered that it has a long lapse time, a long delay time. So as you're driving through the field, by the time you go over gaps, the sensor hasn't picked it up. And so what we think are valid measurements are probably good on average for 35-foot row, but if there are subtle variations, there are variations of like gaps in your stand, it won't pick those up. So we use it. We have good data from it, but I think overall there are better sensors out there, and I know other people have discovered other sensors, and they're not expensive devices. And the graph in the lower right is based on plant heights that were measured by hand versus yield, just to show you that there's about a 50% correlation between plant height and yield. Thermal infrared imaging, obviously very important. Lots of talks on this. We do this at different protocols. We do this from airborne platform. We'd like to use it a UAV, but currently we have an Aranka that we fly. It's a tandem wooden framed aircraft, very nice, can fly low speed. And that's the image on your lower left here. It shows you the blue color of the well water plots, and the yellow and blotchy blue are the droughted plants. And you can see very clearly that some, like here, you can see some plants in here that are getting better water than other, are utilizing water more effectively than others. So there's some definitely differentiation between the droughted, whereas the uniform plots of the well water plots don't show as much variability. Incidentally, these arrows here, which highlight the maximum minimum temperatures, are where the tractor is. The tractor has a hot engine here, and the roof of the canopy is reflective, so it's the coolest. So it gives us some relative temperatures in the field. Close up, we can see the variability of the leaf and the veins in the leaf and the soil to the right. Just to illustrate that there's a multi-scale problem here. When we do temperatures, we need to know temperatures up close so we can differentiate the plant components. But when we're up high, we're integrating that over soil, canopy, leaves, shadows. So you're going to be able to measure different things at different scales. Thermal infrared radiometry. We use these particular devices. They're 8 to 14 micrometer spectral window radiometers. They're well calibrated for the manufacturer, but we don't exactly trust those values. We put them in our own constant temperature room and recalibrate them over a range of room temperatures and target temperatures, so 2 degrees of freedom to calibrate those. We look at two viewing angles, and this is a point that needs to be made, is that if you look straight down, you contaminate your canopy signal with soil temperatures. And the soil temperature gives you no information about plant stress. So we're working on an algorithm to disaggregate soil and canopy temperature. And this illustrates, unfortunately this is not for cotton, this is for wheat, just shows you that one of the ways to correct for calibration error is to do time temperature differencing, which means essentially that you use your temperature at sunrise to normalize all your temperatures for all your infrared thermometers. As I said before, yield is not the goal for this particular project, but I wanted to show you that there's a correlation, but it's a weak one, between temperature change of canopy and yield. In this case, the well water has almost no correlation, whereas the water limited does show some differentiation on the order of about 20%. Since I'm running out of time, I wanted to mention the LIDAR unit, which is probably the most exciting part of this experiment. This scans the canopy and gives us a canopy geometry. On the original platform, we put it on this outdoor tract arrangement here, mounted below. On the new one, it's on the toolbar in the front. When we scan it, we get these sequential slices, and as you go through the field, you can see the rows, you can see the leaf structure here. These are point clouds with a software called Cloud Compare, an open source software. And with that LIDAR unit, you can take slices and get canopy height, canopy width. You can get the profile of the leaf density. More recently, just as a matter of fact, a couple days ago, we defoliated the plants and surveyed the plants and defoliated, and we can see the bowls quite clearly. Here are three of them, two of them on this slide here. These little blobs are all bowls. And here's another view from the side. Now remember, these scans are taken from straight ahead, so we're looking from the side, but it's just a synthetic view. The trick is to find a way to count these blobs of points, which is the computer, that's all they are, clusters of points. But we think we can get a bowl count, at least at defoliation. It'll be much more difficult with a fully a non-defoliated crop. So this is where I'll leave you here, is that it's an emerging HTP, high throughput phenotyping, is an emerging discipline. We have a collection of surveys, a collection of sensors that we can use that we think give you relevant properties. There's a great deal of care that has to be done for calibration. You have to think about the time of day, when you survey, how often you survey, how well you've calibrated, the quality of the sensors. Don't look for large differences. These are going to be subtle things. And I think down the line we're going to look at more spectrometry, image analysis as opposed to radiometry and fluorescence. Thanks very much.
In the interest of time, if you have any questions, please catch them after the presentation. Thank you.